Good morning, family. Good morning to the household of faith, Gate Durban Central. Good morning to Pastor Randolph and Renee, my spiritual parents. Thank you for this opportunity to share the word of the Lord with the household of faith, but also with those joining us all across the nations of the earth. Before I start, allow me to just say a word of prayer before we continue in dialoguing what God has laid upon my heart. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that your word comes to us like rain. Thank you, Father, that you speak to us like a father would speak to his sons. Thank you, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, teach us your oracles. Show us your ways and instruct us in righteousness this morning. And Father, I thank you that at the end of our discourse, we may truly find ourselves in the Word and find ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We bless you and thank you that the Word will have its desired effect on us, in us, and over us. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen. Well, family, this morning, I am so humbled to sit here and discuss with you the things that the Holy Spirit has dropped into my spirit. And I would like to say that this is quite a challenging word. And I think I'm the first person to hold this word up into my face as a mirror and look and see my own reflection therein before I ask you to do it. The word of the Lord this morning will definitely come to us in different forms. For some, it will be a warning. For someone else, it might be a caution. And for another person, it might be a stop sign to just pause and reflect about the journey ahead. For others, it will be a checklist. But most of all, it will be to all of us the truth, God's word, God's prompting, God's speaking over our lives. And we will hold up the mirror of this word to our faces, and we will glean into it and find ourselves and allow the Spirit of the Lord to speak to us in a very definitive way this morning. I have come to enjoy the last few months. We've been speaking about the power of decree, and it just came to us in such different streams and different ways and bringing alteration and change to who we are. And so this morning, I want to use that same base, the power of decree, to speak to us what God has left in my spirit. Now, the word decree cannot be looked at without knowing that there's two dimensions, two interfaces that operates when we decree. There's the heavens, and then there's suns on the earth. There's the eternal, and there's this temporary realm where we find ourselves right now. And it is the heavens, the deity, that responds to a son on the earth when a decree is made. However, this morning, when I did all my preparation and my planning and my praying and my fasting and my seeking of God, I clearly came into something different, where I realize now that God says, if there's two entities in this thing called decree, how about giving Father God also a chance to decree something over his sons? And so this morning we will look at the power of decree, but the flip side of the coin, a different angle, yet still God speaking about the issue about decree. And here we come this morning and we sit around the word, and I find myself saying, Lord, let it be your word. Let it be, thus says the Spirit of the Lord to the church this morning. And so the question is, can God now come and decree a thing over his sons? Decree a thing over me and over you? And what will the content of that decree be? What will it sound like? What will it what will be the flavor and the essence thereof? If God decrees a thing over me, over you as a son, what will the information that comes through sound like? What will the content be? And you know what, family? With that in mind, I realize that we've been under lockdown for just over a year and 4 months. And in this period of being under lockdown, we could not see Pastor, and Pastor could not see us. And there was not the face-to-face connections that we had before COVID hit this planet. Before this pandemic, we could do church the way we know how church is done. We could go and we could interact and we could touch base and we could be in each other's spaces. And over the years, that was church. But now, for the last year and 4 months, Pastor's not around and we can't see Pastor. The church is not meeting. I do not have my hands to the plow in its physical essence the way I used to. And now I come and I realize that God really still wants to upgrade us, and He still wants to build us and change us and rearrange us. But the old-fashioned way of church has been stopped. There's a blockage in that methodology. However, in this current pandemic, I find that now it's not my hands on the plow, the physical plow, that will validate my sonship and validate who I am in the church. Now I come and I realize there's a different cry from the Spirit because we're not meeting, because we're not in church the way we used to have it. The Spirit of the Lord wants to remind us and cause us to realize that an authentic spiritual father will still know the state of his flock. An authentic spiritual father will still know what the flavor of the house looks like by discerning what is happening. And as we probe this matter and continue in this discussion, we will find that spiritual fathers, authentic spiritual fathers, has a deep configuration, an inner configuration that will cause us to know that the Father knows. And it's at this backdrop where I want to start teaching about something that is the Spirit of the Lord has laid upon me. The Spirit of the Lord has dropped in my spirit. It is what I would call as a topic this morning, the texture of the Son. The texture of the Son. And I'm going to say quite a few things before we go into a case study and also probe the texture of the Son. Our reading to start off this morning is found in Matthew chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17, it reads as follows. After he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and settling on him. Verse 17 says, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Verse 17 again says, and behold, a voice from the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This morning, the heavens split open, and a voice pierced loudly through the heavens and the clouds as Jesus came up out of the water. As Jesus came up from the waters. So I realized there's a decree coming from the eternal dimension to a son on the earth. And this decree is from a father to his son. The important word that stands out for me is the word this. This is my beloved son. This, the emphasis is this. And so I want to tap into that this principle. This is my beloved son, not that. So the opposite of this is that there's a that. And that person is maybe not the real deal. But let me not run ahead of myself. You see, the Father splits open the heavens and decrees that this is my beloved son. What did he see when Jesus came up from the water? He saw himself. He saw his representation. He saw his replica. He saw his carbon copy. He saw his face and he saw his heart. He saw exact representation on the face of the earth. He saw an outward man with outward apparel, but what he deeply saw was his definite DNA. He saw protocol of the heavens. He saw the culture of the eternal. And when he sees this in human form, he has this expression, split open the heavens and announce it to the world. And announce it loudly and clearly for everyone to see and for everyone to hear that this is my beloved son. This is most probably the ultimate announcement of announcements that could come from a father to his firstborn son. This is me in my purest form, says the Lord, on planet Earth. This is the light of the world. This is the hope of the world. This here is the Savior of the world. This is the Son that can carry a cross, but also hang on a cross and ultimately overcome the cross. This is the Son that has a status far superior than that of his earthly parents. And yet he chose to come under the speaking, the rearing, the discipline, the fathering of human beings. And it's in this Son where I see myself. And it is after the heavens saw all of that, God had to respond. God had to break open the clouds and announce to the nations of the earth that this is what I want to see. This is what I'm looking for across the globe. And I respond from heaven when this is what I see. And you know what, family, this morning, God is scanning the earth. He's looking over the planet and he tells himself that this is the vehicle that's going to usher in my message, my heartbeat, my words to the continents of all the earth. This is what I'm looking for. And anything less than this is going to be something that will delay the forward momentum of my speaking and of my doings. Anything less than this is going to delay the forward momentum of what God wants to do in the earth and across the nations of the earth. And a journey that might be allocated for 11 days could be for 40 years. Anything less than this, my beloved son, will be the reason why we travel longer than what we should. If we fail in our representation, if we fail in the purest form of sonship, it could cause another generation to have to do what we are supposed to do. The heavens are keenly interested, church, keenly interested in the texture of the sun, keenly interested in what the exactness look like. The heavens are interested in the texture, not of outside, but of the inside, of sons and daughters of God. The heavens are keenly interested in the tender heart towards God, towards His word, towards His speaking, towards what He wants to do in this climate. Why do I emphasize the word texture? We want to go this morning to a case study, and we want to read a narrative where we will understand the ultimate truth about texture. And I want to take us this morning to Genesis chapter 27 from verse 1, and we will read from verse 1 to 27. Follow with me as we hear what the Lord is saying. Genesis 27 verse 1 to 27. Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes was too dim to see that he called his oldest son Esau and said to him, "My son?" And he said to him, "Here I am." Then Isaac said, "Behold now, I am old and I do not know the days of my death. Now then, please take your gear and your quiver and your bow and go out and to the field and hunt game for me and prepare me a delicious meal for me such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat so that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebecca was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare me a delicious meal for me, so that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' So now, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice young goats from there so that I may prepare them as a delicious meal for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat so that he may bless you before his death." But Jacob said to his mother Rebekah, "Behold, my mother, Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will touch me. Then I will be like a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go. Get the goats for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And he said, and his mother made a delicious meal, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on the younger son Jacob. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the delicious meal and the bread which she had made to her son Jacob. Then he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Come now, sit and eat of my game, so that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God made it come to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come close so that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son, Esau, or not. So Jacob came close to his father Isaac, and he touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's, Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, are you really my son, Esau? And he said, I am. So he said, bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's game, that I may bless you. And he brought it to him, and he ate. And he also brought him wine, and he drank. Then he said, then his father Isaac said to him, please come close and kiss me, my son. So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him. Family, this portion of scripture is loaded with principles that I want to highlight, and maybe in your personal study, you will find even more powerful principles coming through in this narrative. We see that Isaac is old and his eyes are dim. Physically, he's in his years. His eyes is a representation that he's really gone old now and he cannot see so well. But I want to say to you and I this morning, an authentic spiritual father sees with his spirit more than with his eyes. In verse 4, the word of the Lord says that he must prepare some food such as I love. And the question this morning is, do you know what your father loves? And not only when it comes to physical food, do you know what your father loves? If you love your father, you will know what your father loves. And then there's the character Rebecca, the mom, who with her maternal instincts, with her caregiver instincts, wants to do something that is maybe not of God, opposing the will of the father because she cares for her son, Esau. And she asks him, whose voice will you obey? I think that that is such a profound expression. Whose voice will you obey? Who is speaking to you? Who is imparting to you grace and righteousness? Who is the caregiver of your spirit? That is coming through profoundly this morning. And then the question that Isaac asks is, who are you? And he is zooming onto identity, sonship. Are you Jacob or are you Esau? Are you my firstborn or you are my other son? How is it that you found this game so quickly? Because you and I know hunting is a time-consuming thing. It takes time, it takes precision, it takes the right placing of where you are and where the buck is. It is not an easy thing. But Jacob, not Jacob, Isaac wants to know, how did you find this so quickly? And the problem is that Jacob answers is, he says, it is because God allowed it to be there, just be there in front of me. And now we migrating from already, you are not the son that God really wants to give the firstborn status to. But you are also now moving to lying, trickery, trying to put wool over your father's eyes. Verse 24 is for me the most powerful question that can be asked from a father to a son. If the heavens split open And a voice pierces through the heavens. And the question comes, are you really my son? Verse 27, Isaac kissed his father, and his father smelled him. It looks like you kiss your father when you betray him. When I consider how Judas did this in the garden, he smelled him. And you know what? Authentic fathers, now during this coronavirus pandemic, have this inner configuration that they can feel with their spirits. They can smell with their spirits. And they can touch the temperature of the house and of the sons with their spirits. But what I want us to realize that even with a man in his old age, where his eyes are dim and he is weary, and he says that the days are few for him, at that junction of his life, he still functioned from a place of, I can discern. I have a prophetic edge. I know what is happening around me. And though his eyesight was impaired, his spiritual antennae was still plugged into the heavens. And that's why he had this uneasiness, this unsettledness about him. It wasn't just a matter of the son just doing as he does and the father just blessing the son and it's over and done with. On the inside, we have an old man, but a spiritual man, a mature man that knows that something is amiss. And the father is quite aware that there's something wrong with the texture of this son. There's something wrong with the texture of what I'm hearing, what I'm smelling, what I'm feeling. It's just not 100% the way I know it should be. So an authentic spiritual father knows the real from the texture that wants to portray real. And though there was deception, I want us to know that while we're out of sight from our spiritual fathers, we're not meeting on a Sunday morning. We're not meeting the way we used to. I am from the understanding that an authentic spiritual father, especially our spiritual fathers, have the keen perception of what the texture should feel like, should smell like, and should sound like. The heavens knows its own. The heavens knows its own son. It knows its DNA. Then it knows what it's supposed to smell like, feel like, and sound like. It recognizes the frequency that we come with. And it's only when the heavens recognizes the real that it will split open and respond to every decree that even we make. And when the heavens wants to decree over us as sons, it's looking for the genuine, the real, the one that feels right, smells right, and sounds right. Authentic fathers in the faith are so wired with God's anointing, with His grace, with His prophetic edge, that though they don't see us, they know. Their spirits knows. Pastor don't see me. Pastor don't hear me. Pastor cannot feel me. Pastor cannot touch base with me at this stage. But I promise you, sons and daughters of God, pastor can smell. Pastor can feel. And pastor can touch and hear the sounds of his sons. And it is a dimension called spirit. And so, what is God saying to us right now, church? What is God announcing from the heavens to you and I? He says, I want to restore every inaccurate texture. I want to come and fix every inaccurate dial that's not on the frequency. I want to come and I want you to be the perfume, not only to the household of faith, but to the house of faith, to the global church, to the corporate church, to the city church. I want to come and I want to look at my sons and I want to see in them the texture of heaven. The firstborn son texture. I really want to split open some portals, some arenas, some dimensions, some gates, some doors. I want to open up stuff for this son that carries this principle, that carries the DNA of the heavens. And so the servants of the Lord, the sons of God, are now asked to consider the texture of their spirits. How do I feel in the spirit? How do I look in the spirit? And how do I sound in the spirit? Do I carry the culture of the kingdom on the inside of me? It's an age-old situation. When Adam and Eve realized they're wrong, they clothed themselves with a different texture called fig leaves. And the question that was asked to them at that stage was, where are you? Right now, in this season of our journey with God, the question comes, who are you? Are you really my son? Both questions, where are you and who are you, is weighty. It questions the truth of who we are. It questions the truth of my texture and of my sonship. I want to make this announcement, church, that from this moment forward, the church will not be known by its excessive activities that validated my sonship and my texture, my identity. Rather, the heavens will split open when it sees the genuine sun on planet Earth. When it sees an expression of realness and of truth and of a sonship that carries the heavens on the inside of them, walking this place, walking this planet. You see, family, there is a sun in the earth today that smells right, that feels right, that sounds correct. But when the heaven splits open and looks at that sun, there is the truth that will say, this is not the real thing. This is not the real texture. This is not the real deal. This sun that I see is led by mommy's voice. This sun that I see tricks his father, ignores the instruction of his father, and allows the maternal to speak to him, to instruct him in righteousness. And so the heavens will split open and look at us, church, and it will announce either, truly this is my son, or who are you? Who are you in the earth today? I hear the cry of the Holy Spirit coming forth this morning, saying, do not lose yourself during this season where father, where pastor is absent, where he's not in your vicinity. Do not sell your inheritance when daddy's eyes are not as bright as it used to be. Don't live beneath the culture of the kingdom. I hear the voice and the cry of the Spirit this morning, and I sense His anointing this morning. Hold fast to your royalty. You are of royal descent, and nothing else less than that is going to be good enough to allow the heavens to split open and showcase the real Son. Stay resilient, says the Spirit of the Lord this morning. Stay resilient to the adoption of your sonship. Hallelujah, this morning. Do not alter. Do not replace. Do not exchange your texture to fit mommy's bill, to fit something that looks like sonship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sense the anointing and the presence of the Lord that we are to prove to the nations of the earth that sonship is not activity. Sonship is the DNA, the very essence of the Godhead displayed on the inside of human beings, of you and I. Let's not alter our realness. Adam and Eve altered by using fig leaves. It was Moses who was forced to change the apparel that he was accustomed to the apparel, the garments and the robes of Egypt. It is Joseph, similar, who had to clothe himself to fit the bill of Egypt. Hallelujah. It was Esther who had to go through a time and a process so that she could be the real person, the person that can walk into the corridors of a king and say to him what the Lord wants to say. And it is Jacob who had to wear the skins of goats to get his father's approval. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say this morning to us all, church. Let's not alter the texture to fit a different bill, to fit a different mandate. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say to you and I to keep it real, to be truthful. The heavens only opens up when truth is revealed, when truth arises from the waters. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord say this morning, church. I am not talking about clothing. I am not talking about garments on the outside, but I'm firmly and passionately want to say to you, I'm speaking to us all about identity in Christ, a legacy that we leave behind, an internal configuration and framework. I'm speaking about sonship that is not just on the outward. I'm speaking about God's divine design that is cultivated on the inside of human beings. Most of all, I'm speaking about authenticity, an inner tapestry that has been weaved and crafted and knitted together over many years by the Spirit of the Lord. That is what the heavens are looking at. I truly believe Father wants to showcase to the world His firstborn Son. He really wants to open up the heavens, split open the clouds, and announce it loudly and clearly to everyone. This, and you have to say it like this. This is my beloved Son. Anything else won't do. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church this morning, family. I'm coming to a close, and I want to bring this all together, and I want to wrap this up and put a bow on it and say, let's read Genesis chapter 49. For your own reading, you can read the whole chapter, but for us this morning, let's read verse 1 and verse 2. Genesis 49 verse 1 and 2 says, then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourselves so that I may tell you what will happen to you in the days to come. Gather yourselves and listen, sons of Jacob. Yes, listen to Israel, your father. Jacob is coming full circle. Previously, with him and his mom, they deceived the principle of sonship and kept the two brothers apart. When he comes to the end of his own life, he wants to bring his sons together because he has learned from his error. He's learned from his mistakes. He's learned from the wrong that he did before. And Jacob calls his sons together, and he perceives that his time on this planet is over, and he needs to decree a thing over every one of them. And he needs to bless his sons exactly what his father did for him. Not only because it's the culture in Israel, but because spiritually that's the right thing to do. And so there's a prophetic edge. There's a prophetic anointing upon him. And he wants all of his sons to line up. And he wants to tell them what the flavor of their lives would be when he is no longer here. And I see a father who wants to decree a thing into the lives of his sons. But this time, we have a Jacob that is truthful, and he wants to be real about it. I want to summarize for you what he says to his sons. He says to Reuben, his firstborn, you are unstable as water. He says to Simeon and Levi, you are brothers, but you are cruel. You have cruelty in your hearts. He says to Judah, brothers shall praise you and bow before you. He says to Zebulun, a haven for ships. That is what you will be. He says to Issachar, you are strong as a donkey. You are a burden bearer. He says to Dan, you are a serpent and you are a viper. You bite the heels of the horse so that the rider would fall on his and fall backwards. He says to Gad, you will triumph even when a troop comes against you. He says to Naphtali, you are a deer and you carry beautiful words. He says to Joseph, you are a fruitful bow. Your branches will run over the walls. I hear a father splitting up and open up his spirit and pouring out to his sons the decrees from heavens, from the heavens. And now, family, what will the decree sound like? What will its essence be when the Father opens up and speaks over you and I? What will his scale tell us? What will his scale tell us about our texture? What will the Father's voice announce loudly and clearly for everybody to hear and for everybody even to see? What will that content be? What will the texture of you and I be when all is said and when all is done? I want us to know this morning the love of a father, the love of an authentic father, has the ability to split open the heavens and announce blessing, power, affirmation on a true son of God. Can the heavens split open over you and I, church? Can the heavens split open over the current church and decree, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased? I think chapter 27 verse 24 is the ultimate question that the heavens could ask a son. Are you really my son? That question is attacking everything that's contrary to God. Are you really my son? It is coming against everything that walks differently to that which is the DNA of the heavens. This morning, I want to lay this announcement. I want to lay it at our feet, that when we eat this word, when we continue to dissect this word, allow the Spirit of the Lord to start with me and then with you also, and bring about a real son whose face is the real face, whose voice is the real voice, whose perfume is the real perfume, and whose expression in the earth is the real expression. There is a sun in the earth that looks right, smells right, feels right, but he's not the real one. You and I have the responsibility and we have the accountability to, like never before, in the absence of our Sunday gatherings in a building, when Father don't see, to still be the representation of the true Son of the heavens. I hear the voice of the Lord saying, are you really my son? Amen. Father, my Father, you speak to us like this because we are your sons, and because your love for us is eternal and endless. You speak to us in this manner because time is running out and you want to showcase to the world the real you. The real you walking this planet. The real you speaking in this planet. The real you allowing us to smell and permeate this planet with the Son of the Living God. Thank you this morning that we are not orphans. We are the sons adopted into the family of God, the royalty itself. And you speak to us like this, Father, because your heart towards us is tender. Your loving kindness towards us is so great. Be the preacher. Be the speaker. You make plain everything that was said, God. You allow your word to come alive in us. You allow your word, Father God, to come alive in us and make us the real sons and daughters of the living God. I bless you this morning, Father, and I thank you that your anointing and your presence makes this word palatable, understandable, and clear to every hearer. We are to carry the texture of the heavens on planet Earth. Be glorified, Father. Be magnified, Father. Exalt yourself in the corporate Son. And this I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Family, I bless you. And I pray that the Spirit of the Lord that I send so strongly right now would teach you further the deep truths that's lying in the lines that was said and in between the lines of that which was not said. Let the Spirit of the Lord teach us. As we decree, so does the heavens also want to decree over us as sons. I bless you in the name of Jesus.